He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. Welcome back. How are you?
Good. How are you, Melissa?
I'm fine. I'm good. Good. Sometimes I feel like, I get questions from listeners and I think they're really great questions, but unfortunately, because everyone has a lot going on, I find I will sometimes have kind of repeat questions, and
yeah,
they're great. So I wanted to kind of go over some of the things that I know we have talked about in recent weeks, but if you have any updates or if you have anything you want to share with me, please feel free to enlighten me, because...
Absolutely.
I don't want this to feel like deja vu for you.
So, no problem.
First of all, I saw that the U.S. is receiving another 36,000 doses of monkeypox vaccines this week. And naturally, I got more calls about this in the last week asking specifically, what does this mean? Should people be proactively thinking about getting the vaccine before they possibly get monkeypox? What are the chances of getting monkeypox? Kind of
sure.
The basic questions that we're getting
Absolutely.
About it.
Absolutely. So the first thing is that there is now confirmed that the smallpox vaccine actually does have cross reactivity to the monkeypox. So that's
okay.
Actually really good. And we have quite a bit of a stockpile of smallpox vaccine. So that's actually really good. And we talked a little bit about how, you know, certain vaccines can have some cross activity to other viruses. This is one of the few. I don't want people to think that, you know, every vaccine could potentially do that.
Right.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is that, you know, you have to be prepared. And that's sort of what this is all about. It's about emergency preparedness, you know, making sure that the vaccines are available if needed. And you could, because it is very infectious, you could get clusters or even outbreaks of it. You are not going to get a pandemic from it. You'll get, you know, potential groups of people that will potentially get infected or could potentially get infected.
Now, so hold the phone there, Dr. Brown. I'm going to put a timeout. I'm going to insert a question for myself then. Why can't this become a pandemic?
It's actually just not. It's just the way it's transmitted.
Oh, okay.
So this is mainly transmitted by touch. So you would have to have a lot of people that sort of started touching each other.
Weird. Okay. That's good to know. Yeah, when you say it that way.
So you literally have to have physical contact. And really, you kind of have to have contact with either like direct saliva, with the pustules themselves. So there's a lot of nuances related to it. This is not a airborne organism.
Okay.
In all intents and purposes. So it is infectious, but only if you have direct contact with it.
Because I was asking, because, you know, with COVID, the reason it got so out of hand was because no one was vaccinated, essentially. We had no vaccinations
out there.
We had no way of stopping it. And I would imagine, if I were to make an educated guess, I would imagine most people do not have the smallpox vaccine already in their bodies. So that's why
correct.
I was asking.
Yeah, I would say, I think the only people who would have the smallpox are either military, I believe, still get it. And
that makes sense. Much older. Okay.
Smallpox has actually been eradicated, so there's no more vaccination for it.
Oh, interesting. So even if you were to go over to Africa, if you were to spend time doing a missions trip in Africa, they're not going to give you the smallpox vaccine? That's interesting.
No, there's no. There actually are no. There's well, I can't say no. There's no such thing as no, but I would say pretty much no.
Pretty much no. Okay.
Yeah, we've eradicated. We've really eradicated that, and you know, polio or two that have actually been technically eradicated.
Interesting.
Only in laboratories, and that's always a whole different story. So smallpox is pretty much there. Now, again, it is in laboratory, and there's the concern about smallpox was bioterrorism. So that's where we have the smallpox vaccination, and I think that's really more or less for, you know, the weird laboratory accident and potential bioterrorism. So that's why we have the smallpox, and we have plans to disseminate those. Now, that smallpox in itself is actually airborne and can lead to a pretty significant amount of people who can get infected from it. So that becomes a real concern. But monkeypox it would not be considered airborne. It really has to be close contact.
Yeah. I was going to say, we're talking to Dr. Brown, and we're talking about monkeypox right now, taking some of your questions. The thing with monkeypox, too, I've been reading a lot of reports on, and it sounds like it's a lot of it is sexually transmitted, is what it sounds like.
It can be, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's, again, close contact. Again, there's close contact and touching. That's sort of the way it gets transmitted. So.
Now, is that something that you could get? So, and why I'm saying this is because I've done a lot of reports on this in the past about screenings and things like that getting tested. If you, you know, plan to have a partner, you are, you know, you plan to get physical with somebody, you know, would we treat this very much like how we treat other things like HIV and stuff? Like, should we be like asking someone like, hey, have you tested negative for this? Is this something we should be proactively? I'm just thinking about couples where I don't know, because we're hearing that that's like the majority of the people who have contracted it.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I think it gets a little bit tricky. It's not like a screening question. I mean, using proper precautions, I think, is the best way. You know, proper precautions to prevent any type of sexually transmitted disease is really the best way to go about spreading anything.
Okay.
So that would be sort of my recommendation. But yeah, I don't think there's necessarily a screening. You know, and again, there is a prodrome. There is sort of feeling ill associated with this. And then you really have to have, and it's tricky to know who actually had contact. But again, this is relatively, right now, this is very low amount of people who've actually have it. And we just need to keep a close eye on it.
Okay, so here's something interesting that I thought of. So you're saying it's not airborne. It's mostly through touch, right? That's what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So why is the CDC asking for masks to come back during travel? Because they said it's for monkeypox.
Yeah.
I don't mean to. I'm sorry. Now I'm putting you in an uncomfortable position. But you know what I mean? Like, I believe in having the masks on planes and things like that, or transportation or in grocery stores, because I don't want to get sick from COVID. But what is that, the media getting it incorrect? Why is the CDC recommending
the CDC
we bring back?
The CDC has always been a little bit aggressive with with unknowns. You know, and again, is this potentially more droplet? It is. Is it more touch? Yes, it is. You know, cleaning this, I would say, if you are traveling, cleaning your surfaces is going to be more important. You know, the airborne is sort of less. That's why you're seeing it more in intimate contact. That's why it sort of makes more sense when you look at it from what's actually happening. It's not sort of these casual contact that's the issue. It's really more of an intimate or a significant contact with someone. So
what you're kind of saying is, hey, wear the mask, but that's not going to prevent you from the – that's not really
– it's not really that
really
type of –
it really has nothing to do with monkeypox,
it's
really
not really that type of virus.
Yeah.
Listen, you know what? If you want to be extra precautious, absolutely. I mean, I think when we're dealing with something like COVID, we know that it's droplet. We know that you need to be close to each other. Airborne is a little bit different. Airborne is sort of – it spreads – airborne means it spreads sort of everywhere. We know that with COVID that you really need to have sort of a face-to-face contact. In monkeypox, it really is sort of an aspect of touching, you know, some sort of touch.
Okay. We're chatting with Dr. Brown of Griffin Health here on WICC. So, Dr. Brown, this morning, big news, a new COVID vaccine for adults. It's closer to FDA authorization, and that is the Novavax, which we've talked about before. Tell us just a little bit, if you don't mind, just taking the time to talk a little bit about this drug. When it does get authorized, what is it going to do? What should people be doing with it? How exactly it works?
Absolutely. So Novavax vaccine is different. Different is that it's not an mRNA vaccine. So it's going to be the first, really the second. I mean, technically J&J was also not an mRNA vaccine. And it's actually a protein-based, so it doesn't go into the cells at all. What it does is it produces, so it actually self-produces proteins, in particular that spike protein, and then the body responds to those proteins. So again, it doesn't use any of the manufacturing in our personal cells. So it's actually, I think it's a fantastic thing to get this, you know, sort of on the market. So the FDA advisory panel did approve it. I think it was 21-1 abstain, which is really good. So that's likely that the FDA is going to approve it as an EUA also. This is an opportunity for those who either we're concerned about the mRNA or even the J&J vaccine, which we're actually, you know, using sort of our mechanisms, our cells to produce the proteins. This gives them an opportunity to say, okay, this is completely out of the cell. So there's no use of our mechanisms to do this besides our immune response. So that's one. So it gives an opportunity for people to have another option that is different from what the current options are. The second thing is that it is a it's actually, I guess that's the biggest point.
That's fine. Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense. And again, it should be getting FDA authorization very, very soon. And speaking of COVID, Dr. Brown, you know, earlier this week, I got a phone call from somebody, thought it made a lot of sense, actually. And she actually came on the air. Kathy from Monroe, I believe, is who I spoke with. And she asked a question that I think a lot of people want to know, which is, you know, our state, and I'm sure the rest of the country, continues to focus on, when we report COVID numbers, the unvaccinated, which I know you and I had clarified that could be people who are not vaccinated at all. It could be people who are partially, or it could be people who have the vaccine but have not gotten boosted.
Right. When
you look at the reports, though, about three quarters of the people who are in the hospital with COVID right now are fully vaccinated with boosters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's drawing a concern for a lot of people.
Sure.
Editorially, that's one thing, like how the media presents it. That's one thing. I'm not going to go with politics on this. But from a medical standpoint, you know, the fact that the majority of the people in the hospitals right now in Connecticut are fully vaccinated dealing with COVID. Who are these patients? Are we talking people with underlying? Are we talking elderly? Like, what are we seeing? Because I think it's concerning to people that they're fully vaccinated.
Absolutely. And it is. And, you know, I can see where that would be concerning.
Mm.
The interesting thing is what we've seen during this recent uptick was we've seen people coming in with another illness and also having COVID.
Okay, so they come in for something different, or they came in for COVID?
They come in for something different.
And then they have, okay.
And so, they have COVID, or the COVID could, or they have some illness from the COVID, and it exacerbates their underlying. So you or I, if we get a common cold or even a respiratory virus, we do fine. But someone who actually has severe lung disease, they get one, that usually leads to a hospital visit.
So you're talking about sick people. That's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And unfortunately, that just doesn't get reflected in the reports, which is why I don't really report on it often. The reason I did earlier this week was because we finally started to see a significant drop. But the fact that we continue to focus on the unvaccinated, I think, is what bothers people, because you're looking at the majority being fully vaccinated. Which is
correct. And I think you can look at it. If you look at the numbers, it actually gives you that hint also on what's happening. Because if you look at the numbers, and we had a very high positivity rate, and you and I talked about that, that means a high positivity of what could be monitored. That's not even including the home test.
Right.
We know we had a high positivity rate, yet the admissions didn't correlate at all.
Right.
So we didn't see a very high admission rate. We saw it peak up, and now it was nothing compared to the last three upticks that we've seen, which I think is, you know, really the story, is that, you know, we're really doing good, and being vaccinated is helping, and then modification of this virus getting a little bit less severe is also very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're in a different place we were last year, even 2 years ago, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Last question, Dr. Brown, and then I'll let you go. Any more clarity on if this is going to be like a flu shot where we have to get a COVID shot each year? I get that question pretty frequently. I'm sure
yeah,
you do, too.
Yeah, me too. The answer is that I would expect that we are going to have a COVID flu shot, coming in the fall. Will we get that for the next couple years? Maybe. It really depends on what's occurring in the rest of the world and how much this organism modifies and how common it is sort of just out there. There is always a possibility that, you know, everybody gets it around the same time, and then, you know, if everybody has it at the exact same time, it doesn't have any place to go and it's done. So we'll have to see how that goes. So that's where it is. I doubt that's going to happen. What's probably more going to happen is that this is going to become more of the common cold.
Okay.
We get it. We get sick. We stay home. Just like, and if you think about it, before COVID, when you think about how colds and coughs and, you know, flus and everything passed around in any office setting, right?
Right.
It's like, oh boy, you know.
Here it is, and then you go through it, and then you get through it. Right.
Melissa's got an upper respiratory tract infection. Oh, now Fred's got it.
Right.
There's a possibility that it may head into that direction too, because it'll be so minor. That being said, it's still going to be important for those who are at risk to get vaccinated, because even though, people have been admitted with it, you know, having another illness, again, there is still another illness that's there, and that does put them at risk.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Dr. Brown, thank you so much for coming on, taking our questions every week. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. We'll talk again soon.